Hey everyone, Dirty Mo Media President Mike Davis here, excited to tell you about one of our newest sponsors at Dirty Mo, Airbnb. The irony here is that Airbnb is new to Dirty Mo Media, but Dirty Mo Media is not new to Airbnb. It has been accommodating us for years. And if you are a race fan, and I think you are, you know why. I mean, you've booked hotels at during a race weekend. The prices are insane. You're stuck with these unreasonable multi-night minimums, whereas Airbnb, you got many choices, all within proximity, and it ends up being way more affordable. Now, I'm not only a frequent Airbnb guest, but my wife and I are also Airbnb hosts. And you should be too. We've been doing it for years. I'll tell you why. We have an investment property that we realized it could be earning additional income through Airbnb. You don't have to have an investment property to do that. You could just find extra space in your home. That works too. It all could be making you some extra cash. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What do you think? Did he get him?
I mean, of all things to say.
What?
Well, I want a victory beer.
He's a seven-time champion.
Right. Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Hey, everybody. It's Dale Jr. back again in the Bojangles studio for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download with my co-host, Mike Davis. It is Thursday, April the 6th. And we are coming off of yesterday's show where we had a great conversation with Tony Furr. Tony Furr, probably not a name that a lot of our newer NASCAR fans are aware of. Won a couple races at the Cup level. Was one of the guys that was always kind of had a reputation for cheating or, you know, creative ideas within the NASCAR rule book. And we pushed him a little bit to give us some of those stories. And also, one of the things that I was pretty excited about was to be able to learn some of the things that he knew about my dad. My dad drove race cars for him at Metrolina back when Dad was flat broke. And things were tough, man. And, Mike, we learned some things about Dad that I didn't know, which rarely happens, but it does happen. And when it does happen, it's always at this table.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not learning these things out in the wilderness. But we learned that Dale Earnhardt run around without a driver's license.
Yeah.
Probably had a couple of, DUIs, whatever. Tony wasn't sure. But he lost his license. And I knew, you know, by listening to Tony Sr. and my Uncle Robert G., that Dad was wide-ass open on the highways. You know, speeding, breaking laws, doing whatever. And so there's no surprise to me, I guess, that he run afoul and got himself in a little bit of trouble and lost his license. But, the fact that he might have been running around for years without one and no care in the world, still driving up and down the road, pretty crazy. Brazen. Very brazen.
Tony might have been sarcastic, but he might not have been when he said that he thinks that Dale Earnhardt's first driver's license might have come at the age of 31.
Yeah. And so I was
– good heavens.
I asked Tony about what disagreements that – my dad and my grandfather, Robert G., might have had, my grandfather on my mother's side. So, you know, Dad and Mom get split up and divorced right around the time that Tony is has my dad driving his dirt car, 77, 78. And I had heard stories where my mom had to talk some sense into my father after a race at Metrolina where I guess dad was driving someone else's car but got into an argument or a fight at the racetrack with Robert G. And dad was, you know, was really out of his mind, and mama had to talk him off the ledge there. But and I was trying to see if Tony knew anything about that particular story, but he's telling me a whole different story where dad, you know, goes over to Robert G's, and Robert G comes out of the building going to give him a whooping
with a fan belt, yeah.
And which is interesting, and you know, they had a divorce, they had fights, they had arguments. I know my mom, and I know my dad, and I bet there were some really nasty, nasty arguments. And I'm sure that if mom went over to Robert G's and told him what all went down, he's absolutely going to be furious, right? And want to take after and look after his daughter. The balls that dad had to even go over there, knowing there could be some potential hurt feelings and frustrations. I can't even imagine the times that my dad lived and the way they lived in the 70s, right before dad's cup career took off, right before that, right? 76, 77, 78. He was a pistol. He was a handful.
How about the stories of throwing out the lug nuts out of the car,
right?
just to break windows,
yeah,
of people that pissed him off, which
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
It don't sound like the same guy.
I know.
You know, I mean, I did some dumb shit, hitting mailboxes with baseball bats, and I regret it. Everybody and anybody that ever tore up your mailbox, I feel like a real asshole. And it's kind of along those lines, I guess. Me and some buddies, we bought some eggs, going egg some cars. Egg some dry, you know, egg some things. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. We're going to throw eggs at shit.
Yeah.
We're driving down the road. We got the eggs and eggs, carton eggs sitting in my buddy's lap in my pickup truck. I was probably 16. And we're driving in oncoming traffic, right, on another lane. He tossed an egg over the top of the truck, and it hit the front of this box van. It sounded like a damn shotgun because it's on my side. I didn't know what the hell he threw over. I couldn't believe egg made such a loud racket, but dangerous,
yeah.
You know. And you know, so I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say, what the hell is daddy thinking? Hell, I've done a lot of dumb stuff. But goodness, man.
Well, the hypocrisy would be if he got mad at you for the eggs.
That's the thing. Like, he did. He would, you know, I stole a traffic cone, right? He who doesn't steal a traffic cone in their time, right? We were riding around in the back of the mall. Ain't nobody in the parking lot. Hey, man, grab a damn cone. When I drive by it, grab the cone and just kind of swing it into the bed of the truck, and here we go. I take the cone home, and daddy gets all pissed off because I got a cone. Where'd you get the cone? Take it back. I'm like, man, ain't no big deal. There's 100 of them out there. You know, everybody needs a traffic cone in their bedroom. And, you know, I wished he was here. I'd be like, hey, what the hell, dude? Sit down and tell me some of these stories. We don't got a recorder for the podcast.
There's so many.
But damn it, dude. Yeah, like, come on. Clean up. Tell me about it. Come clean with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Nitrous and everything.
Nitrous. It started. Yeah, and listen, I didn't ask that to Tony yesterday, but it was Tommy Russell that told us the first nitrous story, right? And as I put the timeline together, he drove for Tommy Russell before he drove for Tony Furr.
That's right.
So you know that those Tony Furr's like everybody had to run nitrous. You know he was running nitrous with Tony Furr too. I didn't ask him. It's in my mind. I'm just assuming that he's saying everybody ran it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he's talking about the different ways you would hide the bottle. But anyways, you know that was going on.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a one-time thing with Tommy Russell. But how about the story, Dale, of them getting run out of the race for him planting
the
Dickie Armstrong or whatever his name was. Yeah, wrecking him, the rain coming out, and then him having to jump off the truck and onto the – I mean, like – have you ever heard that?
No.
That is insane. It also feels a little heroic, too. I mean, like, I thought that just added in a good way to this whole, like, legacy and badassery of Dale Earnhardt. I don't know if
I guess
felt the same way.
Well,
I did.
All right. So they're broke, and they know they need the first or second place money.
Mm-hmm.
And they get passed by Granddaddy's car, and he he tried to, you know, from listening to Tony, Daddy tried to move him, but didn't, you know, didn't have the speed to do it. And don't know that he would have planted him into the guardrail, being that it was Granddaddy's car and they park right next to each other. But he wrecks the hell out of the other guy that he don't know. Hell, this guy come from Florida, some hot shoe from, you know, this, you know,
trying to take the money.
Yeah, he's like, you know, hell, this guy, hell, man, I'll wreck his ass. And he hooks him and wads him up. Yeah. And because I guess that's how bad he needed that money.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing, man. I've never ran a race, so I can't put myself in that frame of mind because I've never ran a race sitting there going, oh, shit, I can't lose this position because I'm not going to make the money I need to make. You know what I mean?
With a hole in your radiator, too. Like,
but I'm just saying, how I've never, unfortunately for me, I don't know that I or a lot of people in this day and age have ever been in the race car thinking, you know, you're going to, I'm going to finish in this position. I don't give a damn what it takes. And literally wrecking a guy into the fence is what one of the things I'll do.
Yeah.
And he does it. Desperate times, man.
I was just thinking, racing to survive sounds a lot like what that would be. Anytime else, use it. That sounds like an overstatement, but I think that's exactly what they were doing.
So listening to Tony Sr. tell some stories about Dad around this time, during this time, right? Dad worked as a welder at Great Dane and would, if he needed to go race and the work would not accommodate that, he quit because he knew that he could walk in there a month later and get the same job back. Because he was a hard worker, knew how to do the shit, and they needed it. They needed the guy. The thing about that is what I'm trying to bring up and listen to my mom tell stories. Tony's first confirmed it a little bit here. Tony Sr. Dad wanted to race, and he did whatever it took to race. He would quit work. He would quit, you know, he would quit a job, lose his paycheck for however many weeks. We'd eat scraps, you know, we'd eat bologna sandwiches every day. The rent or the power or whatever, the electrical, all that stuff would get pushed back, not paid on time. We'd go without the heater. You know, they had these tanks on the back of the trailers that you'd have to fill up to have heat to burn the flame and heat the house. And he'd come in there with $2 worth or $5 worth, just kind of piecing it together, right? Never filling that 40-gallon tank up or whatever, you know, whatever that 55-gallon tank. And so, you know, he just was like day to day, just like Tony said. You know, they had, I can't get it today. I ain't got the money. All right, we'll try to get it tomorrow. What do I got to do tomorrow? What do I got to do now to get that money to do that? You know, and it was literally going from, you know, buck to buck. And he would quit his job to go race, and everything else had to suffer, you know, bills, the family, Christmas, whatever, right? And he knew what he needed to make to race or to get to the racetrack and buy the tires he needed. And if he couldn't, you know, and he's running around to Robert G., Tom Pistone, Tommy Russell, and anyone else who would give him something for nothing, you know. Hey, man, I got a hole in my radiator. I ain't buying a brand new damn radiator.
Breaking into junkyards.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Right. Probably the same junkyard he was in earlier that day getting the motor out of.
Exactly.
He's walking around in there going, damn, I need that too. I'm coming here tonight. I'm going to come in here at midnight and get it. And just brazen. So brazen. I can't believe how just brazen he was. Like Tony said, he was fearless.
Yeah, but I mean, there seems to be context around that now that really is telling about your dad. For me, at least, we've had a bunch of guests on here that have talked about your dad and was even from that time. But to be honest with you, this is the first time that I was listening to stuff where I'm like, okay, maybe this actually explains a lot about him. I mean, like, just hear me out on this. If he's literally racing to survive or racing to make it to the next race, right?
And you're saying to yourself, I must finish here to be able to make it to the next paycheck
or to get through the winter.
Get through the winter, right? I had a great aunt who grew up in the Great Depression. She died extremely wealthy. You never know it. She never threw anything away. She grew up in the Great Depression, and so it affected her the rest of her life, 90 years, where you would never know because she never would throw anything away because she grew up in the most impressionable years. Her young years were in the Great Depression, also trying to survive. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, sometimes if that's when you're growing up, and maybe he's racing that way the rest of his life just because that's all he knew. That's in his most impressionable years when he's trying to make it. He's like, hell yeah, I'm going to put a dang door to you. Doesn't matter how successful or how many championships he has at that point.
Yeah.
It's who he is as a racer.
Yeah.
It's how he grew up. I don't know. It just, to me, Tony Furr gave us a lot of context behind how we ended up with the Intimidator. And that was from, it sounded to me like a guy that was just trying to make it through the winter, like you said.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a way to say it.
Yeah. I'm just glad he was honest. We had to pry it out of him. He didn't want to talk bad about Dad. He didn't want to say, he was like, man, you know, I don't want to tell you about the lug nuts, right? You know, but we eventually broke him, got him comfortable. Well, and
he didn't have much of a poker face. So like, he's like, he would grin through everything. What did you think? Oh, go ahead.
I was just, you know, I'm glad that he finally, you know, trusted us. We're like, hey, man, just share it. Just tell us the truth. If we think it's, you know, too insane, you know, it's a podcast. It's not live. We can make adjustments. But anyway, I was a great conversation. I was glad we got him over here. I was, you know, interested in his own career as a cup crew chief and so forth. And good to hear some of those stories and his frustrations over some things that happened in his career and the, you know, how he learned how to get those cars to go really fast at Daytona and Talladega and so forth. The rate, you know, he ends up going there and winning in with John Andretti in Cale Yarborough's car, you know, in a car that nobody thought was a front running car, but he could find ways to make it go fast. And
I really felt like he is an innovator. I think we use innovator almost as tongue in cheek about talking about a cheater, but like I got the sense that he was really innovative.
Well, it's a less insulting way. I mean, you don't want to sit across from a guy like that and go, tell me how you cheated, man. Tell me all the things you did to cheat. You're going to, you know, you say innovator because you don't want to insult them. Yeah. And you want them to tell you the story. And, you know, it's so much time has passed. I hope these guys, you know, understand that it doesn't mean anything. It's not a knock against their, you know.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. So
at least here it is.
For him, it is. In this room, you're going to be appreciated for, you know, sharing some of the ways that you were creative and saw holes in the rule book or found ways to get a car through tech and past the prying eyes of, you know, NASCAR officials.
The breakaway jack bolts, you know, good heavens.
Incredible.
What a genius.
Yeah.
Some dude that's making springs down in Georgia or whatever is coming up with these things. I mean, like, wow.
Yeah, man. Pretty fun. Great conversation. Hope you guys will. If you haven't listened to it, well, I know a lot of people are talking about our Thursday show. Really appreciate it. Thank you for that, too. Giving us a lot of great compliments on our Thursday show, our wrap-up show. I wasn't sure how, you know, popular this one would be, but we have a lot of fun on it. But anyways, I hope you'll go back and listen to Tony's conversation. A lot of cool things in there. NASCAR history and heritage come alive at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Celebrate my fellow inductees Donnie Allison, Jimmy Johnson, and Chad Knaus with their class of 2024 artifacts enshrined in the Hall of Honor. Don't miss the Ford Performance Showcase. It's a new Inside NASCAR exhibit that showcases the Ford Mustang's next-gen car through its design and innovation. The latest edition of Glory Road explores over 75 years of racing history with its cool 33-degree banking and 19 cars on display. On Mondays and Fridays, there's guided tours that take you behind the scenes with incredible stories and access to a NASCAR Hall of Fame insider. Or you can explore the hall at your own pace with the new mobile hub. It's a digital experience. Get behind the wheel of a realistic iRacing simulator. Or you can learn how fast-paced pit stops work with the Pit Crew Challenge. From the legends who shaped the sport to the new heroes earning a spot in the record books, the NASCAR Hall of Fame delivers an unforgettable experience. Book your visit to the Hall today at NASCARHall.com.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kit Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you know, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Make sure that you remember next week we won't have a Dale Jr. Download, but Business and Motorsports Part 2, Kelly Earnhardt's new podcast, will be running next week in this time slot, next Tuesday. They have Marcus Smith, and I know we've had Marcus on a lot, but Kelly's going to be asking him questions that that I haven't thought to ask. They're going to be diving into the business model. And Mike, you told me that you guys got some input on what he believes the future is for North Wilkesboro Speedway. I'm anxious to hear that. I know we've kind of asked him that, but now that we're this far down the road and North Wilkesboro is a true reality, what does it mean? What is going to happen after this All-Star race? We're going to go to the All-Star race, have a great time, but I'm more worried about what goes on at Wilkesboro beyond that. I know that he wants the car store to come back multiple times a year. So I know that he has a plan that that place will continue to function. He would not be putting all this effort in and renovation in for it not to have a long-term future. So what is that? I hope you guys got some great answers from Marcus.
I got one more question I want to throw at you real quick.
Go ahead.
I asked Marcus because there's a perception out there from us who just read Sports Business Journal or whatever it is it like, you know, there's that these negotiations between RTA and the track owners and NASCAR are tense, and maybe they are, right? But the fact is that we wanted to know a little bit about that from the track vantage point. But more than that, I wanted to know, what can the tracks be doing better with the teams to improve that relationship? Because I sense that there's a little tension or a little just frustration that the drivers don't do enough to help support the tracks. Mm-hmm. The teams will tell you the tracks just charge them too much for just to be able to park a souvenir trailer. And so it's like, hey, let's just go. What can we do? If we're all in this together, what can the tracks be doing better to help that relationship? And what can the drivers and race teams be doing better for the tracks?
Kelly's first installment of Business and Motorsports was well received. People really loved to hear how Kelly's I mean, let's be honest. Kelly's better at the business side of this than I am. She knows a lot more about what's going on in the sport and knows exactly the type of questions that need to get asked in these situations when you can sit in front of these people. The first installment of that was really well received. I think this one will be too.
That's right.
We got a couple of announcements to make. The Sundrop paint scheme announcement.
That's right, this morning.
All right, so going back to North Wilkesboro Speedway with the Sundrop car, for All-Star Week, a lot of people might have saw that coming, but if you didn't, yeah, we're going to bring that car back and run it again. One of the reasons why I wanted to run this car again, not only do I love the nostalgia of the paint scheme itself, we have a new partnership with Sundrop to help promote their brand around this area, which I love. My father had the same relationship with them years ago, but Lionel will have a new tool for the late model stock car. So they've used an old tool for last year's car. Heard a lot of response from fans. They want a new modern tool or a modern mold for the late model stock car, and you will be able to buy, and I can't wait to get my hands on it, the new modern take on the Lionel late model stock car. And why is this important, not only for our fans, myself, to get this Sundrop car, right? I have one of the older models right here on the desk. It's going to be cool to get this car, this Sundrop car, in a modern take, but I know that there's a lot of people out there that love to do the customs.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Yeah. And so Lionel will sell a lot of these Sundrop cars that are actually going to get sandblasted and redone as their own custom designs. There's a lot of guys out there, girls out there that are doing these customs themselves. I buy customs on eBay from a particular guy that creates a lot of different customs that I enjoy collecting. And so I think, you know, Lionel probably appreciates the people that are buying these diecasts for whatever reason it is. We're going to see some really cool customs come out. A lot of the guys that run in the cars too are going to be lining up to get their customs made by some folks. So that's just a neat thing that, you know, there's a tool, there's a car out there that you'll be able to you know, if you drive a late model stock car, you're liable to be able to have your own car custom made using this diecast car. So that's kind of cool. Also, me and Marcus Smith are going to be on Race Hub tonight.
All right.
Going on Race Hub tonight. Ain't going to tell you why. You'll have to tune in. But we got something cool to tell you.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Yep. Make sure you're tuning in this weekend. Bristol Dirt. It's going to be a lot of fun watching the truckers race around there. There's a lot of cars or a lot of guys, cup drivers, Davenport, one of the hottest, if not the hottest, dirt late model racer around right now, is going to be competing in the truck series, as well as the cup series. There's going to be a lot of really cool things happening at the Bristol Dirt Race this weekend. Easter weekend, I know a lot of people are going to be doing things with their family, but there's some Easter functions happening out at the racetrack. Mike, you talked about it Tuesday on the Dale Jr. Download of Dirty Air, where the track's doing everything they can to make it not only a great race weekend, but also to give you that Easter celebration or that traditional Easter experience with your family. So check all that out.
BristolTix.com is where you can go buy tickets for that race this weekend. I think you should do it.
Yep.
BristolTix, T-I-X. Also, don't forget, we've got the Denny Hamlin appeal today. We're taping this Thursday morning, so it's not like we know the results of that, but I'm sure that if it comes out here in a little while, maybe after this podcast drops, we'll go on Dirty Mo Live and react to it if there's anything to react to. But that's appeal day today for Denny, so we'll see how that develops.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we've had a lot of fun on this show, on the Thursday show, playing some games, right? And basically what we've done in the past, which is way freaking harder than you think. We have...
You're eating this candy.
I am. Can you hear it?
I'm doing it too. I'm trying hard not to make it obvious, but yeah, just so you know, these candy cigarettes are legit. I mean, like, we're just sitting here chewing them and podcasting.
Yeah, here, let me get rid of that.
No, don't. No.
Well, I don't want to smack it. It's Amy's smacking. That was Amy's biggest pet peeve. So, anyways, we played a lot of games on the Thursday show. And basically, you take one drive, you know, you take multiple teams in sort of a tic-tac-toe format and say, okay, what driver has drove for both these teams? And then you get the square, right? And Mike is 2-0. Mike has won both episodes, and dang it, we're going to keep playing until I win, and then we won't play it ever again.
Fair.
It's really hard.
I think this is the one where you absolutely are going to annihilate
me. I don't know, man. I'm telling you right now that this has been a really, really difficult game, but we're going to change it up this time. It's now sponsors.
Yeah.
I guess what sponsor has been with the same driver? Mm-hmm. And so, Mike, since you're 2-0, I'm going to allow you to go first.
Well,
right?
Go ahead. Alex, set us up. Make sure the listeners know what we're doing.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, the same thing as we've played the last 2 weeks, tic-tac-toe. Across the top, we got Budweiser, Bass Pro Shops, and Coors Light. Then down the left side, we got Mobile One, McDonald's, and Valvoline. Now, we've kind of flipped back and forth where you can use multiple drivers and you can't. You can use the same driver for multiple squares, but there is a way to fill out this board without doing so.
Okay.
But just keep that in mind. For my sanity, I'm changing that rule.
So Budweiser, Bass Pro, Coors Light across the top, Mobile One, McDonald's, Valvoline down the bottom.
Yes.
Oh, this is Dale. This is Dale's wheelhouse. I'm just saying. This is him. He knows drivers, sponsors. I mean, this is going to be difficult, but let's try it.
Now, there's one other little stipulation I have. They had to run multiple races. So they could have ran just two, but not no one-offs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
but by multiple races, at least two,
yes.
Oh, okay.
So, Mike, yes, you won. You get to go first.
I won. I get to go first. I'm gonna go try to. I know some, but I'm trying to go for the middle.
Going straight.
I'm trying to go for the middle where it's Bass Pro Shops and McDonald's. And I'm what? Hold on, McDonald's.
45 seconds.
Okay. All right, I can't think of it. I'm just going to go up top right, Mobile One, Coors Light. David Strimmy?
Incorrect.
God dang, this sucks so bad.
All right, I'll take the middle square.
Middle square, what do you got?
McMurray.
Yes, correct.
I was thinking McMurray, but I couldn't. I didn't do it. All right, so Dale just took the middle. All right, I'm done.
Yep, Dale's got the middle first on the board.
And then, is it his turn?
No, it's
or
your
is
turn.
It my turn?
It's your turn now. There's a couple on here. I thought you'd get right off the bat.
All right.
Nothing?
No, I mean, I'm going after a specific square, but I'm just like, why am I drawing a blank on this? But now I don't want to say what square I'm going after because he'll
steal.
All right, Budweiser, Valvoline, Dale Jr.
I thought he only ran once.
In Valvoline?
Yeah, in Valvoline. That was my research. It was a throwback at Darlington. I couldn't find if you ran it another time. So I'd call it no. Dale can correct me if I'm wrong. But
Budweiser, McDonald's, Bill Elliott.
Correct.
Of course. God dang. Coors Light. All right, so... And I can use a driver for the second time?
You can, yes.
I'll do Bill Elliott and Coors Light, McDonald's.
Also
to
correct.
Block Dale. So Dale was going for the win. Now
going
he's done.
Win, yes.
Yeah, tell him what they're doing, what he's got here.
Yes, he was going for the win in the middle square. Mike blocked him by also using Bill Elliott for Coors Light and McDonald's. So now.
All right, Budweiser, Valvoline, Casey Kane.
God! Is that right?
Incorrect. No, that is not.
He didn't run?
Nope, didn't run Valvoline enough.
Really?
Yep.
He ran it once?
Once.
Damn.
Okay, hold up. I'm back in the game.
Door is wide open.
Hold up. Jeez. Mobile One. God dang, man.
Which one are you looking for?
I ain't telling. Yeah, all of them. I mean, like, I know who drove the Mobile 1. None of them drove these three.
So Dale still kind of has control of the board here as the middle square.
Yeah. So Mike all right, hold on. How much time I got?
You are 40 seconds.
I'm going to say Bass Pro Shops Mobile 1, Tony Stewart.
Correct, yes.
That was good.
So that's the top middle there. It doesn't really help me do anything. It's the only one I can.
Top middle, yeah. Mike's on the board.
That's all I had. All right.
And now to Dale.
Yeah, the Mobile 1 one's tough. Mobile 1, Budweiser, Harvick?
Yes, correct.
Good one.
So now that's top left. So now Dale can win if he gets bottom right.
So that means I got to go get that. And that is Valvoline Budweiser.
No, Valvoline Coors Light.
No.
Bottom right.
Oh, he can win twice.
And yes, bottom left.
He's got
left.
Two things going.
I didn't even see that. Didn't fill it in yet. This is Dale's revenge game here.
No, he's got this one. All right, hold on. Oh, God. I cannot think of who would drive a Valvoline car, but I'm just going to guess a Bud driver and just say Darrell Waltrip?
Incorrect.
All right.
Back to Dale. Darrell Waltrip was a good guess, though.
I don't remember too many Valvoline cars.
That's my problem. I can't think of them.
Yeah.
They all feel like one-offs.
I'm going to go Coors Light, Valvoline. Kyle Petty.
Kyle Petty is incorrect.
I'll go same box. Kyle Larson.
Incorrect.
Damn.
Back to Dale. That's, I think, the toughest one.
Yeah. Coors Light, Valvoline, Robbie Gordon.
Correct.
God dang, Robbie Gordon.
And Dale wins with the bottom right. Ran twice for Coors Light and Valvoline.
For
Valvoline
who?
For his own car. I believe in 2008, he had his own car. He had a Valvoline, couple one-off separate races, but ran twice. And Coors Light, he ran for SEPCO.
Who was the Budweiser Valvoline?
Neil Bonnet, which I thought you guys would get. And then the Coors Light Mobile 1 was Kyle Petty.
Mobile 1?
I would have cars, never got
He ran one? Two races for the Penske 12 in 2000.
Petty ran the Penske 12?
What's the Valvoline Bass Pro Shops?
Mark Martin, who filled in for Stewart during the Bass Pro Shops and then Valvoline.
Filled in for who?
Stewart. In one of those couple years where he got...
Yeah, he filled in for Stewart for like half a season or something. It was pretty...
Dude, that was hard. And I am impressed. Robbie Gordon, I still, even after you told me, I cannot even picture him running for Coors Light or Valvoline.
I remember Coors Light, but I was guessing on the Valvoline. I just assumed that maybe there was a... Hey!
Dale's
we're
got
never
a
playing these games again. Good job. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you later.
That was hard.
Nah, that was fun. I like that one, man. The sponsors... All right, I'm good at that. You're good at that. Better at the other version.
Well... I tell you what, that was impressive. Listen.
That was fun.
It is fun. I think I know what adds to the pressure. I don't know if you feel the same way, but don't you just hear people listening going, how can you not know this?
Of course.
And they're just reeling them off in your head. Like they're in my head. And
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2-1 now. We got to have another game next week.
2-1.
Well, we're going to have to week,
no,
have
no,
week
I think
off.
I think you said we're done with this.
No,
I end with a winning record.
And I think, people can let us know. Should we keep bringing it back?
Hey, Alex, how long did it take you to build that board and research that?
It took me a couple hours on Friday. Then I had to come back over the weekend and think about it. And I finished it Monday morning.
Damn.
All right. Multiple days.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We got another episode of our Short Track Insider. We're going to jump right into that now with Hannah Newhouse. Here we go.
Welcome back to another rundown of Short Track Insider. And how is it already April? I mean, it's April and still across the country, we've got snow, we've got rain. Mother Nature, she's just taking us for a spin so far early on in the year. A lot of cancellations over the weekend just due to bad forecasts, cold weather, saturated grounds. But a couple races still able to get their get their races in, essentially. One of those, of course, being the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, who somewhat preluded the weekend into Richmond with NASCAR. And it wasn't really a prelude because their Friday race got pushed into Saturday, and it was Austin Beers who was able to win his first NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour race after being pretty much dominant all weekend long. And again, that race originally was scheduled for Friday, was pushed into Saturday. So congratulations to Austin Beers on that. Richmond, definitely a cool place to win. There was also supposed to be a doubleheader this weekend down at Crisp Motorsports Park on Saturday and then Mobile on Sunday. But Crisp was rained out, so a majority of the field just went ahead and packed up, drove over, and ran Mobile, where a lot of eyes were on the super late model rivalry of Casey Roderick and Bubba Pollard. Again, we talked about that rivalry, kind of what happened on the last lap, I believe, down at Five Flags a couple weeks ago. But it was Pollard who was the class of the field and able to take home the $15,000 paycheck on Sunday. Also on Sunday, there was an exciting Apple Cup race that took place at Tri-City Raceway for the Northwest Super Late Model Series out in Benton City, Washington. And it looked like veteran racer Jonathan Gomez had pretty much set himself up to sail to success at the Tricky Tri-Oval. But young racer Casey Klein tangled with Gomez coming to the checkered flag, handling that win over to Kyle Telstrom. Well, we caught up with Telstrom and got what happened from his perspective and ultimately being able to take home that checkered flag and that paycheck.
From my view, after the restart, I knew that Klein was rattled a little bit and he was going to do everything he could to get back to Jonathan's bumper. And I could see from, you know, my 15 cars back or so that I was, that he was charging the last couple laps. And I saw him go into three there really hot, and Jacob kind of was up the track, and I saw Klein start shoving up the track towards him. And so I knew it was coming, and just glad it worked out in our favor that we get through without any trouble. And, you know, racing sometimes, that's the way it goes.
Well, this upcoming weekend is very light in the grand scheme of touring short track racing. A lot of people staying home celebrating Easter. So on Thursday this week, so again, if you're listening to it the day this drops, tonight, Kyle Larson presents Flow Racing Late Model Challenge is taking place at Volunteer Speedway in Bulls Gap, Tennessee, right up the road from Bristol Motor Speedway. And man, a large NASCAR presence is expected. Chase Briscoe is running a car prepared by Kyle Strickler and Melanie Motorsports. Kyle Busch is running a car. Kyle Larson is running that Rumley car that he runs all the time. But, you know, these guys are dirt guys, but a lot of them, of course, taking that into preparation for Bristol Dirt this upcoming weekend with NASCAR. That race can be watched on Flow Racing. Also on my calendar, I've got the World of Outlaw and NOS Energy Sprint cars head to the Midwest with US 36 in Osborne, Missouri on Friday and 81 Speedway in Park City, Kansas on Saturday. You can watch all World of Outlaw racing on Dirt Vision. Back in action is the Tezos All-Star Circuit of Champions. They'll double down at Attica this upcoming weekend, both Friday and Saturday, and you can watch all of the All-Star races on Flow Racing. And well, if the weekend is over and you still need some midweek racing fix, we're going to go ahead and tell you about all the midweek racing that happens next week, including the High Limit Sprint Car season finally set to kick off their 2023 campaign after their initial race was canceled due to rain. So on Tuesday the 11th, the series heads to Lakeside Speedway right outside of Kansas City for their first race of the season. $50,000 to win, of course, that being winged sprint cars. High Limit races can be watched on Flow Racing. Also, some dirt late model racing. Man, just a lot of dirt. I think that's just the precedent set for this weekend. This weekend is dirt racing weekend in the United States. The Castrol Flow Racing Night in America has a doubleheader on Tuesday and Wednesday, with Tuesday being Eldora Speedway and Brownstown Speedway on Wednesday. Those races, of course, on Flow Racing. And, you know, things are back in swing next weekend after most series, teams, tracks are all going to take this weekend off to enjoy Easter weekends with their family. So we hope you have a safe weekend. Again, if you're looking for that racing fix, a lot of local tracks are starting their regular seasons. Look them up. Check their Facebook pages out. Check their websites. Follow the local racers. Get out and support your local short tracks. So next week, we'll have you covered on who won where and what's coming up on Short Track Insider.
All right, everybody. Great job, Hannah. Hope you enjoyed that. It's great to hear about what's going on in the short track world out there. And Hannah does a great job bringing that to us every single week. Remember, only one show next week. That's the Business of Motorsports Part 2. My sister Kelly Earnhardt interviews Marcus Smith with Mike Davis. And that airs Tuesday. And that's it for next week. Me and Mike are going to take off. Mike, you got something. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Grand Canyon.
Okay, Mike's going to the Grand Canyon.
Where are you going?
I am not doing that. I'm actually working. I got to do a couple things for NBC.
Okay.
But we're gonna have a little break, and you guys are going to enjoy that Business of Motorsports Part 2. Hope you enjoyed this Thursday's show. You guys, make sure you tune in to hear Tony Furr, yesterday's guest on the Dale Jr. Download. Door bumper clear, guys. Action's detrimental.
Action detrimental. We'll be looking forward to, you know, Denny's response to whatever happens today in the appeal. That's that. Speed Street's got – Chandler Smith was on DBC this week. DBC is a marathon of an episode, and they are all over the board. But if you can hang on, that's a good show to listen to.
It's been a busy week at Dirty Mo Media. We are grinding. Our whole team has been wide open, putting out content, working their guts out. And I hope you guys all appreciate it out there, all the hard work they're doing. But we'll see you next week. Enjoy Bristol Dirt. I'll be tuning in, going away to see some family this weekend in Texas for Easter weekend. But we'll be tuned in, checking out what all the racers are doing out on the racetrack.
Well, have a good weekend, man.
Check out Dirty Mo Media. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.